we pray? Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time now as we can hear your word and feed off your word. I pray, Lord, you will speak through me. I'll just be your vessel, Lord, that you speak through me, to me, and all who are listening today, Lord Jesus, that there'll be words of life and words in season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be reading out of the scriptures all around sort of the birth of Jesus. I'll be reading from Matthew 1, chapters 1 and 2, and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And today I'll be focusing more on Luke. I'm entitling today's sermon, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. And as we read Matthew and Luke, it's quite interesting, really. I see so many parallels with our characteristics of being a church of impact. And I'll just sort of, I'll mention those as I get to them. Us being a church receiving instruction and application of God's word. Us being a church mobilized for the ministry through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Us being a church praying steadfastly in faith without ceasing. Us being a church adoring Jesus with passionate praise and worship. And us being a church caring for one another. And finally, us being a church telling others the good news of Jesus. I see so many pointers of impact in these scriptures. It's quite exciting. But for the purpose of today, I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 1 and verses 5 to 38. Luke chapter 1, 5 to 38. It's quite a bit of text, so just bear with me. So Luke chapter 1, 5 to 38. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they are both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well and advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this, for I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years?" And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me, in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among the people." Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name is Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among the women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of the kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I do not know a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who was born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and is now in the sixth month for her who is also called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That's the word of God. We thank the Lord that that is a true account, and we praise the Lord. Nothing, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And I just want to focus on today, what are you allowing to be impossible in your own eyes today? In this case, Elizabeth was barren. She was unable to have a child. But your life may be barren of something. It may be barren. Just maybe your marriage is barren. Your relationships are barren. Your relationships with your family are barren. It could be finances. It could be home life. It could be work life. It could be just your ministry time. It could be barren. There could be barrenness in your life. And that barrenness could be real. It was real to Elizabeth. It was real to Elizabeth. She was without child. Number of years she'd have endured the heartache of not having a baby, seeing people grow up, loved ones, have a child. Yes, the joy which goes with that, but also the pain. I want to be able to hold my own child. So your barrenness may be real in your life today. What is your barrenness? But are you seeing the barrenness through your own eyes, or are you seeing the barrenness through the Lord Jesus Christ's eyes? And let's just unpick that today. Let's unpick that. Because I don't believe the Lord wants barrenness in any of our lives. He wants fruit. He wants fruit. He wants fruit. He wants fruit. And with the Holy Spirit comes fruit in bounty beyond measure. And one of the things of impact I mentioned before, I really want to just zone in on today. Let's quickly turn to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. "Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And in the NIV version, it says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let's just read the characteristics of Zacharias and Elizabeth. In verse 6, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." By the power of the Holy Spirit, friends, we can walk a righteous life, a holy life. The Lord will give us self-control. He'll be able to equip us to die to flesh, die to the cravings of the flesh, and overcome temptation. We are saints in Christ. We can live a righteous life. Of course, there may be sometimes we may just fall snare to the traps of the flesh and succumb. But praise God, we have a gracious, forgiving God. But I strongly suggest, or I strongly say, that we are to walk righteous lives. If Elizabeth and Zacharias could achieve it, why can't we? Don't limit God. Don't limit God with your background. Don't limit God with your weaknesses. Don't limit God with the things you're going through. God wants us to walk righteous and blameless. He, by the power of the cross and the blood which is shed, he came to wipe the slate clean. We have to walk in white robes. Do not walk and excuse sin in your life. Just don't excuse it anymore. If there's sin, active sin in your life, lay it down and allow the Lord to deal with it. It may take prayer, it may take fasting, but confess it and allow the Lord to deal with it. Don't just pray about it and say, well, that's just me, and just I've got a blank check and can do whatever I want. Just don't do it. Sin should not be active in your life. Allow God to prune. So I believe that prayer, that verse, the prayer of a righteous man, is powerful and effective. It's true. And I think it's true in Zacharias and Elizabeth's lives. So let's just fast forward many years of praying and years of walking a righteous life. Zacharias, he was a priest. He was of good stock. This is a guy who's, you know, he's a leader in the church, inverted commas. He was a chosen man to be a leader of the Jewish people. And he was a priest. He was entrusted with that role. And he was walking a righteous life. And we know that his wife was barren, and they were at sort of latter years of their life. So, verse 9, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right-hand side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he'll turn many children of Israel to the Lord their God. He'll also go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah. And then Zacharias said to the angel, he didn't say, cool, you're an angel. He got over his fear quite quickly. This angel was real to him. So he computed in his mind, this is an angel of the Lord. And after being told this, a wonderful account of what's going to happen. So this is important, guys. When we read the Word of God, when we've been praying and maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, always be ready to receive what God is going to speak to you. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. I think what's happened here is Elizabeth and her husband have been praying for years for this child. And I sense that Zacharias, maybe Elizabeth hasn't, but Zacharias has stopped praying. Sometimes I believe prayers don't have boundaries or they're not time bound. They've been praying fervently for a child. The angel acknowledges they've been praying, which means the Lord has acknowledged the prayers. But Zacharias's faith have almost stopped him to pray, continue that prayer. But praise God for his grace, that those prayers that have been lifted up were still received. They were still received. The Lord had received those prayers. And God's timing is perfect. Amen? Whatever barrenness may be in your life, if you've grabbed hold of a promise from the Lord and you're still running with it, but in front of you in your eyes, it still seems barren. And you're thinking, God, why am I running with this promise? It just seems barren in front of me. It's just getting pathetic now. The time is ticking. Don't allow the barrenness to dictate your thinking. This is what happened to Zacharias. But praise God, he is full of grace. And Zacharias, the angel responded, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and we're sent to speak to you and bring you glad tidings. He came there with a joyful message. And Zacharias threw it back in his face with, how's this going to happen? And the Lord, through Gabriel, gave him a bit of a rebuke. Thankfully, it wasn't a harsh, harsh rebuke. But it was a rebuke. The guy couldn't talk for a good while. That's pretty annoying. Pretty troubling. But behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. So that could have been around 9 months this guy wasn't going to be speaking for. Imagine going to the shops and just... So this guy was rebuked, but praise the Lord, God is gracious even when he rebukes us. He is gracious even when he rebukes us. But behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you do not believe my words. I like this bit here, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Brothers and sisters, when you pray about something and God puts it in your heart to pray something, the Lord has taught us to pray, your will be done. And one of the important things of God's will is his in his time. Of course, God can do something instantaneous. He turned the water into wine pretty instantaneous. He didn't let it ferment for months and, you know, vineyards and stuff. He just turned it into wine straight away. And there's times in our life when we need pretty swift intervention. I testified to my son's intervention last week. That was pretty swift after a dramatic turnaround on that Friday morning. Dramatic. Praise God the Lord. But sometimes God's timing is perfect. Well, his timing is perfect. And his wisdom is beyond our understanding sometimes. It's beyond our understanding. I say it before, and I always say it, sometimes we just want things now, 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 now. And the world has kind of conformed us into that in a way. You know, I'm not too old enough to remember, you know, in the supermarkets you had seasonal food. But now it's everywhere. You can get strawberries in the winter, and you know, it's just like everyone wants it now. I want a strawberry, all right, we'll grow it in Kenya, we'll ship it over, and it'll cost all this money to fly it over, but I want my strawberry. I'm not going to wait until Wimbledon's on. I want my strawberry now in winter. You know, so we are a fast, fast, want it now type of people. But the Lord's timing is perfect. God knew they wanted a child. God saw their pain, he saw their tears, he saw their tantrums, he saw their, sometimes I'm giving it up, God, why am I doing this for you? He saw all that, but his ways were perfect. He had John commissioned just at the right time. Just at the right time. And praise God for John the Baptist. So I want to just us to get in the mindset that God, with God, nothing will be impossible. Zacharias was given a gentle rebuke. And sometimes we can be in the boots of Zacharias, where God says something and we go, really? How's that going to happen? I like Mary's response. May we have the response of Mary? And I think this is why God wants us to have that approach to him, like infants, that sort of childlike faith. She wasn't a child, but she was younger in her years than she was Elizabeth and Zachariah. Verse 28. The angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. I'll just touch on the impact, mobilizing ministry. Elizabeth didn't choose herself to be John the Baptist's mother. Joseph and Mary didn't choose themselves to be the custodians of Jesus. God chooses and he appoints. Don't question it, just get on with it. And, you know, God's chosen Ian, praise God, to be an elder of this fellowship. He hasn't chosen Ian. Ian hasn't chosen himself, sorry. God has commissioned it. But whatever God is commissioning you to do, in your mind you're thinking, oh man, really? Just get on with it. Just get on with it. Because God's ways are perfect. Yeah. Don't allow doubt, inexperience to get in the way. Whatever it is, if God's commissioned, he will perfect his ways. Amen? So, he chose Mary. She was troubled. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him and throne his father David. And he will reign over his house Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will no end. Now Mary said to the angel, how can this be, for I do not know a man? Now you could say, well, didn't she have the same response as Zacharias? But I think she was pretty fair to have that response. You know, Zacharias was a priest. He must have known about Abraham. He must have known about Sarah. He must have known about their miracles. And I don't think, and I know there isn't, and there never will be, a woman on this earth who's ever given birth to a child through not being intimate with a man before. So I think she was, I think we can let her off for asking that question to the angel. Do you know anything? So the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Amen. So Gabriel's told her what's going to happen. And he's given her a double whammy of news. And also, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month of for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. What was Mary's response? She didn't say, really, Elizabeth? Don't you mean so-and-so? She didn't say all that. She just said, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. In the NIV version it says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. What a heart to have. I am your servant, Lord. When the Lord speaks, just have the heart of, I am your servant. Let it be. What a wonderful response. There's so many scriptures which point to God's sovereignty, and I'm just going to pick a few. In Jeremiah, there's a couple of verses, 32, verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. Amen? Amen. And later on in verse 37, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? Is there anything too hard for me? We've been studying Ephesians, right, recently? And we are studying Ephesians. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Amen. I read a few weeks ago when Jesus talked about the rich young ruler, and the disciples go, well, who on earth is going to get into heaven? Jesus' response was, with man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And finally, I touched on it before, was Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis 18:14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. We need to never be robbed of the revelation that nothing is too difficult for Christ. Whether we're thinking about vision for the church, how's that going to be fulfilled? Whether it's things God may be stirring and commissioning in your life. Praise God that Zacharias was given that promise. He blew it a little bit by questioning it, but God was still gracious, and John was born and delivered. And when he scribbled the name on the tablet and said it's going to be called John, his tongue and speech came back again. So sometimes you may have been walking in barrenness, and maybe you kind of, enforce the barrenness in your life because you've kind of spoken into it and said, yeah, this is happening because for these reasons. Allow God to just cleanse you and forgive you and make you whole again. Never, if you've been reinforcing the barrenness in your life by speaking things which aren't true, cease talking those things now and speak the truth into your life. Don't reinforce barrenness in your life. If God has said something's going to happen, believe it, walk in those truths. Amen. Nothing is too difficult for God. And I praise the Lord that God delivered on his promises. Baby John was born, delivered safe and well. Jesus was born safe and well. And we're going to come across opposition in times. The things that God maybe stirred up in your life, the things that God wants to bless you with, it's your marriages, your family life, your work life, your home life, your labors in the body of Christ, you're going to have opposition. As soon as Herod got wind, and we'll come about this maybe next week, of this king being born, Jesus, he asked all the scribes and his sort of religious leaders, who is this guy? And they prophesied and said, yes, the word scriptures point to this Savior. What did he go and do? He went out to destroy every child. Every child in that region under 2 years old was destroyed, every boy. Don't say the devil is not active. He is. And he may be active today, but his power is limited. God's power is limitless. That's the difference. Limited versus limitless. The devil, through Herod, accomplished the death of a load of children. Hundreds, thousands. The anguish in those homes, the anguish of those mothers and fathers, the anguish of those sisters, the anguish of those brothers, it would have been horrendous. The devil had a small victory, but the battle was won by Jesus Christ. The Savior, our King of Kings, was hurried away, sent to Egypt, and the one child he was after, no harm came to him. Not even one hair in his head was hurt. God overruled. So you may be facing opposition in your life today. Get on your knees, seek the Lord. Brother Ryan preached on it a few weeks ago around spiritual warfare. God has equipped us with the armory to wear, and allow the Lord to accomplish his plans for his glory. Amen. Amen. So let's just pray. And I just really want to encourage you to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Is there barrenness in your life? Is there barrenness in your life, either self-made or just barrenness, you just want to get fixed? Lean on the Lord. Lean on his timetable. Have that heart of, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for those truths. I thank you, Father God, that you could have chosen any mother to bear John. But you chose a righteous woman, a woman in latter years, to have that child. Lord, you didn't look at physical characteristics. You looked at her heart. And Father God, that your plans came to pass. Father God, sometimes we can have a response like Zacharias of questioning you, questioning your authority, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, forgive us when we do that, Lord, Father God. Father God, when you speak, when you instruct us through your word, I pray, Lord Father God, we will have the heart of Mary to say, I am your servant, may your will be done. Father God, if there's anyone here who have got barrenness and it's been going on for years and years and years, I pray, Father God, for rain in their life, Lord Jesus. You will quench the dry bones. You will quench the dry land. Whatever it is barren in their life, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father God, you will send the rain. Father God, send the rain, Lord Jesus. Stir their faith. Stir their obedience. Father God, if any of us have been reinforced in the barrenness by speaking lies into their own lives, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would just block that tide of negativity, Lord Jesus, now, Lord Father God. Father God, we pray you just block it. Jesus. Father God, we thank you, look, your word says, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. If sin is so active in our lives that it's kind of blunting our prayer life, Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray for cleansed hearts, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, where sin may be ruling our lives, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Not one step forward, two steps back, but one step forward, one step forward, one step forward. I pray, Lord Jesus, we will walk in the power of your Spirit. We will walk with self-control. We will walk with renewed minds. We will walk with cleansed hearts. We will walk with feet of peace of the gospel, Lord Jesus. Father God, we will walk with a shield of faith, Lord Jesus. We will walk with a breastplate of righteousness, Lord Jesus. Father God, we will walk with your sword, Father God of the Spirit, Lord Jesus. Father, we just pray that your will be done in our lives. We pray for the vision that will come to pass. We pray for an equipping beyond measure. I pray for each one of us in our home lives, in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our work lives. I just pray, Lord, that we'll walk in your plans and purposes. That, Lord, when you say go, we'll have the obedience to just go. And not second guess. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.